This conference will.
Welcome, everybody. This is Laura Berman-Fortgang speaking, and tonight is our monthly Now What community call. The Now What community are the folks that are interested in career transition and life direction guidance, and it's all based on Now What, 90 Days to a New Life Direction, which is the book of the same name by moi, Laura Berman-Fortgang. And we also have coaches all over the country who have been trained to do the Now What program with clients. So this call is for anyone who is currently working Now What and has questions, or people who are just considering Now What as a way that they might do their career clarity work, or just for anyone who wants to come hang and be part of this conversation. So we will... I'll be speaking for a little bit about tonight's topic, which is finding the clues to direction and clarity and what's going to make you happy. And then I will open up the line for questions. So those of you that are listening to this as a recording, you'll get to hear with some of the things that were on the minds of the callers. But we will be doing these calls on a monthly basis, and everyone's welcome. So again, welcome. We are going to speak tonight about clues and finding the clues to what's next. This is one of the, I'm passionate about transition anyway, but I'm particularly passionate about speaking about the clues to where the direction is and also purpose. So we'll do purpose another time. But in terms of the clues, let me just say that working with the Now What book since, I started working with clients after 9/11. That then became this book and been working with clients ever since on this kind of career transition work. So what's that now? Nine, 10 years since I started this process, but it's only been a book for four. I say that, let you know about the amount of time, just because there's certainly been a shift in what people want to do. I mean, we came from a time of great prosperity in the 90s, and people just high on the hog with ways that they could create and recreate work and have more time and have more perks. And when the economy had took a turn after 2001 and then certainly in the last couple of years, I saw a marked distinction in what people are looking for in their life. So if I say that my early coaching years were about people wanting to make more money and have more prestige, and the 90s were about more time and more balance, and markedly, I mean, with a bang, and excuse the pun for anyone who has any images of 9/11 in their mind, but I saw people turn to the more being more meaning, more satisfaction, more significance. And I think that has only sped up and become more crucial. Now, I know that meaning and significance and fulfillment go out the window when you're worried about paying the mortgage and it just becomes about survival. And it's clear that a lot of people have been in survival mode in the last year to year and a half. But that really hasn't changed the way that I work with people, because I've been noticing in more recent times that as people are knocking on doors and the resumes are not getting looked at, much less getting interviews, with people having industries shrink in front of their eyes, with people being in their own business and watching entire segments of their business disappear, it really becomes a matter of having no other choice but to listen to the clues. And I really strongly believe that that any of you who are saying, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do, I don't know what's next, I would be bold enough to differ with you just from the many, many hundreds, if not thousands, of conversations I've had with people, that I really see what's more true is that we're deeply afraid of what we know we have to do next. Deeply afraid maybe because we don't want to deal with the change, deeply afraid because it means giving up a certain identity or a certain level of achievement that had been an identity for us. And certainly, it's scary to have to say, okay, I know what it is, and now I have to make radical changes. Maybe it means downsizing your life. Maybe it means moving. Maybe it means starting a business when you've always been a corporate employee. Maybe it means going to get work in nonprofit when you've been someone who's made a couple hundred thousand dollars a year. And that one in particular has been up. I've spoken to three people in the last week, who, two of which secured nonprofit positions and one who is considering it, and they all came from very prestigious jobs and just didn't want to do them anymore. It wasn't necessarily that they'd all been let go, but they just had different things calling at them. And so tonight is about those clues. What is calling at you? And not just your inklings and the things that you're passionate about or the things that you wish you could do, but I also want to open the door to those of you who may truly feel that you don't know. Like, where do you look? Where do you get the confirmation and the affirmation as to that maybe the things you've been thinking about are the things you're supposed to be pursuing? Now, one of the tools in the Now What program that we use, instead of a resume, is a life story. And, you know, in fact, resumes, I think, are one of the disservices right now as to what's going on in the job market and in the career transition world, is that the resume just is this document that surely people update it and change it and change the language and use whatever's a la mode at the moment to make their resume interesting and attractive. But the resume is a series of past accomplishments that can actually become a prison, actually become a set of bars from which you look out at the world and say, like, well, you know, this is it. This is my little cell. This is my little cage, and there's nothing else I can do. And it's so not true. So in saying to you, let's look at your life in a more holistic way. Let's get off the resume and look at your entire being, because that's where the clues are. And tonight specifically, I'm going to point you to three clues that are in the Now What book. So if you are not officially part of the Now What community in terms of someone who is doing the program or has read the book, I highly encourage you to pick it up. And the three clues that I want to share with you tonight, among the myriad of others that we could be looking at, are one is rather obvious and the other two are not as obvious. I'll invite you to look at what I call the golden threads, the things that seem to be the threads that tie your whole life tapestry together. What are the themes? What are the things that are repeated patterns that happen over and over and over again to you? And maybe they have nothing to do with work. Maybe the pattern is that you're always a starter and you never finish things. Or maybe the pattern is walking away from things just as you were going to get the most successful at them. Or maybe the pattern is something missing in your story, like, you know, there's no leadership in your story. Maybe you've always been in a supportive role, and now it might be knocking at your heart to be in a leadership role. So you want to look for themes. You want to look for things that gel, that come together as patterns or lessons or things that you have always had in your life. And again, the clues are not just in your work history, not by any means. And they're not just those things you love to do, but they're looking at those patterns. One of these women that I mentioned that ended up in nonprofit, she actually worked with me on the Now What program a few years ago, and she discovered by looking at the themes in her story that she'd always been a philanthropist. I mean, since she was a kid, she made greeting cards and sold them to raise money for certain things, or she did the Ronald McDonald carnival in her backyard. She was always, always looking for ways to raise money for causes that were of interest to her. And as an adult, you know, happily or not so happily employed with a bank for many, many years, she still was a big volunteer in her community and with her religious organization. But what became clear by looking at the themes is that who she was, and that's such an important element in looking at any transition right now, it's not just what you've done, but who are you? What is in your core? I call that core your DNA, your life blueprint. Like, what are the undeniable things that have always been there about you? That's what we want to get back in touch with. Those are the clues. And one for her was that she was always working in philanthropy. I mean, always working towards taking care of others by raising funds. And it was clear for her that nothing would be more satisfying to actually do that as her work and not just her volunteer work. But the same thoughts that might be going through your mind, and this was a few years ago when there wasn't as bad of an economic scenario, you know, she's like, well, we're so overextended as it is. We barely make it on the salaries we make now. How could I possibly? Well, this is what happens when you don't take action on things that you know deep down are true and deep down you want but are afraid to act on, is eventually life will catch up with you and do it for you. And, you know, it just finally became not an option anymore to be at the bank. And lo and behold, she was quite employable in nonprofit, even though she thought she might not be without having that experience. So she has finally landed there. And now it could have happened years ago. But, you know, she also knew she had to get her money life in order. And a lot of people now, I have to say, it's not, you know, what everyone's running to do, like, is dying to make less money. But I have to say that a lot of people are finding more satisfaction and fulfillment from things that may or may not bring them as much financial gain as they've had before. But seeing this become less and less of an issue for people, they somehow find a way to make it work. So anyway, you know, one of those clues is the threads. There's something you've always done or always been or have always had people seek you out for. I'm reminded of a woman that I work with in 2003 who did lose her spouse in the World Trade Center attacks. And she, in her story, when I looked at her story, one of the themes that came up for me was that something was missing, and that missing was leadership. I kind of hinted to this effect earlier. And, you know, she had never mentioned to me that there was a leadership role pending in her life, but when I said, you know, I'm looking at your story, and it really screams out to me that you've always been behind the scenes. You're behind your man, behind the glass as a bank teller, behind the scenes as a CPA. You know, what's that about for you? And she just said, you know, funny that you mentioned it, but I'm being tapped right now to take on a leadership role in a project, and I just don't know if I can do it. I've never done it. And lo and behold, that's exactly what she wanted to do and exactly what brought her the meaning and the satisfaction that she was looking for. And she held on to her CPA firm but also did this thing. And lo and behold, I do happen to know now that she's remarried and very happy, and things roll in the right direction as you keep telling the truth. And I just cannot say that or stress that enough, that when you tell the truth about what you want, what you know is where you need to express your soul, where you know you need to express your life blueprint, luck happens. You know, one of my favorite definitions is that luck is preparation meeting opportunity, but I have to add in there the element of truth-telling, that I also see that when people tell the truth about what is bottled up inside of them, what they really want to do, if they could have it their own way, if they could wave the magic wand, those things often are like a floodgate waiting to be opened up. And when that floodgate is opened up, I've seen a lot of synchronicity and a lot of luck happen. So that's one of the clues, one of the places to look, those themes that have always been in your life, and certainly those things that you know are true but maybe too afraid to admit right now. And that goes for the people on this call who may also have their own businesses. There may be new directions calling you, and you're afraid to let go of what you currently have, or you're known for one thing. How could you possibly do the other? But this is a theme. I mean, I'm seeing it over and over again at all levels of business, and not just solopreneurs either. But let's move on to another clue. This clue is a clue of kind of unraveling something that may break you through to some clarity. And This clue's a bit psychological, but simple to unravel in a way. I find that a lot of people feel lost or don't feel that they can move into something new because they're being held back by what I call a driving motivator. A driving motivator is something that drives you. And I'm from the New York City area, and when I think of a driven person, I can certainly get in my mind a lot of them, because if you walk in New York City, you bump into a lot of them. You know, so a driven person has a certain amount of, you know, forward energy, forward moving, maybe somewhat aggressive or overly assertive. There's a lot of ambition there. You know, so that drive has certainly served us well up until a point. And what I find a driving motivator to be is often a coping mechanism from childhood that no longer serves us. And what happens is if we don't know that it's not serving us, you know, we don't know it's about a motivator, we don't know it's about an outgrown coping mechanism, we just feel like we're losing our mojo. Like we are, you know, we're just losing our edge. We don't have it anymore. People aren't responding to us the same way, or my marketing doesn't work anymore. Those may be some of the symptoms that you're seeing of a driving motivator gone wrong. So what do you do with that? Well, you want to look at your entire life again, not just your work life, but your whole life, and look at where did you make a decision that you're reacting to. Now, the decision is maybe in the form of a vow. You know, I will never be like my mother, or I will never be poor like my family, or I will show my uncle, you know, who's the smartest one in the family, or I will make my parents proud. I mean, some of these things sound silly saying them, but they're not, because they're such old decisions and old vows and old motivators that we made them a long time ago. I'll give you an example that of a woman who was a top salesperson, and she was hiring me because she wasn't sure what else she wanted to do, but mostly she wanted to just get her drive back. But I said, you know, I don't think it's about getting your drive back. I think it's about finding something else to do. And she wasn't convinced. But we got to this idea of the driving motivator, and it was very clear for her what her motivator had always been. She had been up for a scholarship for college at 17 years old. She was a basketball player, and just before she's ready to go off to do all that, she finds out she's pregnant. And she gave up the scholarship, gave up the shot at all that, and had her baby, and swore that she would not be a teenage statistic. She would not be one of the ones who didn't make it. And that vow served her well. I mean, she had another baby with the same guy. They ended up getting married. I'm not sure how she got into sales, but I think she went to school, she got into sales, she's top salesperson, won all the awards, did everything right, and now she's feeling like she's losing it. She doesn't even know who she is anymore. And in pointing out the motivator, or finding the motivator with her, it became clear that she had nothing to prove anymore. So that motivator just wasn't working for her anymore, and she didn't even realize it was a motivator. So when we find that we have a motivator that's not working for us anymore, we need to make an adult decision and say, you know, if this doesn't serve me anymore, what motivation will? And you've got to look at whatever is going on for you right now in terms of what you're not sure of doing, or which steps don't make sense to you right now, because part of what might be telling you it doesn't make sense is because you're basing it on an old vow or an old motivation. And it's time to decide if that motivation still fits. I really get, you know, I'm fascinated by this because it really can be so subliminal and so hidden, and yet when I point it out to you, it may become completely obvious. That one of the clues is, have you been using the wrong motivation to figure out what's next? Because now more than ever, it's really time to be making decisions based only on your own motivation, not motivation that has to do with proving something to someone. And often, these early motivators or these motivators we take on doesn't only come from childhood, but most of the time. It was a vow we made way back when. You know, most of these motivators, you'll notice, are not being compelled towards something. It's not like having a sense of purpose about changing something in the world or accomplishing something. They're more a reaction to something. I won't be like that. I'll never become that. I'll make sure that this doesn't happen or that doesn't happen. And like I said, they can leave you in a state of great discomfort and confusion in finding new directions or next